As we go into today's word, we're talking about handling aging realistically as we close out this three-week series called Dynamic Family Matters. And as we talk about our youth and as we talk about aging, I would be remiss if I did not give credit what credit is due. And that is, Minister Juan has been a disciple of and raised up by Pastor Eli Hernandez. So put your hands together wherever Pastor Eli is. There he is right there. If you don't know, this is how what discipleship looks like. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, God, that all of us can grow and change and develop and mature. And as we go into this word, I pray that this word would go into us. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Together, everyone said, amen and amen. Well, first of all, speaking about giving honor and credit, well, credit is due. For those of you who served in our military, happy Veterans Day weekend. Would you stand to your feet so we can honor you if you're in the military or have served in the military? Come on, Owens Mills, anybody there? Yeah, come on, the people who have served our country. There you are, thank you. Thank you, thank you. You know, yesterday on Veterans Day, every year, of course, my mother turned 90 years old. Icy Carter Anderson Jackson. We had a birthday party at my sister's house with all the kids and the grandkids. And from my mother, the matriarch of the family, turning 90, to the youngest newborn grandchild, great-grandchild, 8 weeks old, we got to see multiple generations celebrating together. And when you have multiple generations celebrating together in the same room like yesterday, it really gives you a sense of your family's history and heritage and background. And in today's message on handling aging realistically, my goal is to be an encouragement to you today, regardless of the age or stage of life that you're in, because God purposed for you to be the exact age that you are right now, today. Years ago, I had a minister on staff, and every now and then I'd ask him, hey, Jim, how you doing? He was in his 60s, and Jim would always respond, Pastor, I'm young and healthy. And whenever he'd say that, I'd smile and I'd love his answer, but it always reminded me that we as believers ought to walk by faith and not by sight. And Jim was definitely walking by faith with that statement. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about aging. It says in Proverbs 16:31, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. In Job 12:12, it asks, is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? In other words, the longer you live, the more you'll understand. And all the older people in the house said what? Amen. And amen. That's right. Those were all the OGs who said amen. And you know what an OG is, right? It's not an old geezer. If you want to be cool and hip, you got to understand that an OG for the young people is known as an original gangster. Come on, old people, keep up now. The bottom line is that the longer you live, the more you begin to understand. You may be thinking, now I understand what my parents meant, or what the preacher meant, or what my grandmother was trying to say. You see, with age comes wisdom. Not always, but a lot of times, at least it should. In Ruth chapter 4, verse 15, it says this, he will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. Does anyone need God to sustain them as they age. The text says that he can renew your life. God can actually restore your life. And in Joel 2:25, it says that he can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And just that quickly, in the last 5 minutes, I gave you four different scripture references from the Old Testament. Proverbs 16:31, Job 12:12, Ruth 4:15, and Joel 2:25. But one of my favorite scriptures on this topic is what the Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through 31. Some of you are very familiar with it, others of you may not be, but this is what the Word of God says. He gives strength to the weary and increases power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. In this passage, the prophet Isaiah is saying to us that even young people can grow tired and weary. Even young people can get a little bit stumbly and begin to fall. But whether you are younger and tired or older and tired, the one who renews your strength is God Almighty. And when you put your hope in the Lord, not in your youth, not in your education, not in your finances, not in your spouse or your friends, but those who put their hope in the Lord will do two things. Number one, they will gain renewed strength. And number two, they will obtain increased power. Let's look at verse 29. It says, he gives strength to the weary. When you put your hope in the Lord, you will gain renewed strength. Hope renews your strength. When you don't have hope, it will sap your strength. But when you have hope, you have an expectation of something in the future. You have an expectation that God is going to come through for you. You don't have a hopelessness that makes you want to end everything now. You have a belief by faith that God is still on the throne and that God is still going to do something. When you put your hope in the Lord, you will gain renewed strength. And secondly, when you put your hope in the Lord, you will obtain increased power. It says in that same verse, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Hope not only gives you strength, hope gives you power. Hope gives you the power to believe that God is going to perform on your behalf. Hope gives you the strength to believe and the power to believe that no matter what the devil throws your way, the power of God is stronger than the power of the devil. That the resurrection power of God can come through for you even when the enemy seems to be knocking at your door. And so I love the fact that hope is something you can have at any age. And when you have hope, you have focus. You have vision. You have promise for a future. And then when you get to verse 31, I want you to notice it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and will not be faint. Did you notice the decline of the words? They will soar. They will run. They will walk. Did you see the decline of the words? You see, as you age, there may be a decline in your pace, but not in your purpose. There may be a decline in your speed, but not in your focus. Your hope is connected to your purpose and your focus. Your human age is connected to your pace and your speed. And there is that decline from soaring to running to walking. I remember when I was younger in the neighborhood we used to live in, I used to make fun of, I used to laugh at these people who would do something that I'd just never seen before. I mean, I've seen people run. I've seen people jog. But when I moved to this suburban part of town, I had never seen people do something like this, fast walking. And I would just laugh, like, what are they doing? That's not exercise. And that's not running. That's not jogging. It was so funny to me. Now that I'm older, just going out for a walk in the neighborhood is a chore. My wife will say, honey, you want to take the dogs out for a walk with me? And I respond, nope, I'm good. They've got four legs, more than I do. But my favorite people that I see walking in the neighborhoods now, I like their pace. That's my Indian brothers and sisters. They have their hands behind their back. And they're walking through the neighborhood like this. I am so impressed. I'm like, yes, that's my pace right there. They just seem to embrace the movement. They seem to be meditating while they're walking. And it may not be great for my cardio, but it's good for my spirit. I like it. So here's the question. How do we age realistically? How do we handle aging in a spiritual and realistic way? Well, with aging comes some realistic challenges and changes. And these are challenges that can be in any stage in life, changes that can happen in any stage of life. But I want to name three. Challenge number one is the challenge of adulting. The challenge of adulting. While the text I read talks about the decline from soaring to running to walking, there is the earlier part of one's life from the beginning where you are learning the exact opposite in the life cycle. Namely, you walk first, then you learn how to run, then soar. This is the beginning of the life cycle. When raising children, you ultimately are trying to help them to lift off and soar. And it takes years to do that. And so when we talk about the challenge of adulting, it's really the walking to the running. And then when you send them off, they begin to soar, if you will. Parenting is the process of multiple releasing points so that your children will be able to soar on their own one day. It starts right at birth, when a child is separated from the womb. They have to cut something called the umbilical cord. That's the first release point. And then when you pull them off the breast, that's another release point. From your arms to crawling, that's another release point. Then they start walking. That's another release point. Then off to daycare. Preschool, first grade or kindergarten, getting on the bus. And if you have multiple children, that first child, when it's time for them to go off to school, you're taking pictures on the front step. You are so excited and emotional as you walk them to the school bus. And as they go on the bus, you wave. And they look out the window and they wave. And there's that emotional moment as the magic school bus just goes off. By the time you get to your second or third kid, it's time to wake up for them to go to school. And you're like, you know what? You just go ahead and let me know when you get back from school. Hopefully it's the right bus. Hopefully they take you to the right school. God bless you. I'm turning over. It's something that happens after you have multiple children. But then before you know it, they're off to college or to job hunting, getting into the workforce or moving out to live somewhere else. All of this is about releasing and sending your kids off into a world beyond yourself that you may not ever see. Psalm 127 says this in verse 4, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. In other words, your kids are like arrows, and we are to launch our sons and our daughters into a world that will impact their generation for God and for good. From childhood to young adulthood to watching them go from crawling to walking when they're in their younger years up until they leave the house, that is a stage where they are moving from walking to running. But then when they get in their 20s and in their 30s, now they're moving toward this challenge of adulting. It's during this time that our young adults are trying to figure out who they are. They're trying to discover not only who they are, but what they want to do, what they don't want to do for the rest of their lives. And this period of time is called adulting. And it can be very challenging. In fact, the Oxford Dictionary defines adulting like this: the practice of behaving in a way characteristic of a responsible adult, especially the accomplishment of mundane but necessary tasks. It goes on to say that adulting includes tasks like keeping your home clean and paying the bills. How many of y'all need some more adulting in your household right now? Now, allow me to pause and just ask you, how many of you are in the adulting phase right now? Would you wave to me? You're in the adulting phase right now. Maybe in your 20s or your 30s or whatever. At Owens Mills, just wave to me. There you go. There you go. These are people in the adulting phase. Let me give you a word of encouragement. Give yourself some grace if you don't have everything figured out yet. Give yourself some grace if you don't have everything figured out yet. Don't be too hard on yourself. You know, Bob Beale, in his book Decade by Decade, says that the 20s are the time to figure out what you do not want to do. It's not actually a time to figure out what you want to do, but for a lot of those who are in their 20s, it's a discerning process of realizing what I don't want to do. And so sometimes we expect those who are 18 to 25 to 29 to know exactly what they want to do for the rest of their lives. If that were true, we wouldn't have so many colleges and universities where over 50% of the people change their major after the first year or two. Because how can we expect every teenager to know exactly what they want to do, and even as they become more adults? So I just want to encourage you not to be too hard on yourselves. You need some time to figure it out, but still clean the house and help pay the bills, amen? All right, now, let's move to challenge number two. Not just the challenge of adulting, but now the challenge of ascending. Remember, you're moving from that walk to that run, and now you're ascending. You're moving into your 30s and beyond. And it is in this time period when you're starting to go from your 30s and then into your 40s that you're moving in between this running to this soaring, and that transition can take a decade or two. And you know that you're building up your life to reach your goals. But the stresses can be real too. You may be married or single. You may have young kids. You may have a mortgage to pay or rent. You may be settled on a career track. You may be in school or working on job certifications. But in all of it, you have bills, friendships, multiple stressors that come with the climb. And that's real. Allow me to pause at this point and ask those in the rooms, how many of you are in the ascending phase right now? You're building, you're growing, you're in your 20s, and I mean, you're in your 30s, maybe in your 40s. And with that comes some stresses. Let me give you a word of encouragement. Think of this time as a season of thriving that will pay off when you get to a higher altitude. The turbulence will not kill you, but the ascent may be a bit bumpy. Push through, and you will get to a place where you will enjoy soaring at a more comfortable altitude. Don't give up. This too shall pass. Now, we've talked about the challenges of adulting and ascending. And now what I want to do is take you to the third and final challenge, and that's the challenge of descending. Remember, this is probably exactly where Isaiah 40 verse 31 picks it up when it says that, you know, you will soar on wings of eagles, and then you will run and not grow weary, and then you will walk and not be faint. It picks it up right about here. And the descent begins. After living your life until the point of walking and running and soaring, now what? You know, when you're in your 50s to your 70s, somewhere in that phase of life, you're soaring, but you're not looking to climb higher and higher and higher in altitudes necessarily. You're looking to make sure that you and your family have somewhere to comfortably land at some point. And as you move towards your descent, which can be slow and take decades, but as you move towards your descent, you realize that your parents and or your grandparents are coming into their last days while your adult children are finding their stride. You may be feeling the tug from both the older generation family members in front of you and the younger generation family members behind you. And as you're descending from that soar to a run, you may be feeling that tug financially and emotionally. You know, financially, the younger generation family members may need help with establishing their lives, their new homes or weddings or careers or babysitting the grandkids. Or the older generation family members may need help with the final phases of their life, with their health concerns, caregiving. And for some of you, maybe your parents are even living with you. And as we saw in the drama, the relationship between an adult child and an aging parent can really be something that touches us emotionally. And as your parents and grandparents descend from soaring to running to walking, some are at a pace where they are ready to be sitting or laying down to their final resting place. And this can have a real toll and a tug on you emotionally as well. Allow me to pause here and ask the question. For those of you who have somehow hit your peak, you still have some altitude, you're doing fine like that, it doesn't mean that you're ready to like die over right now. But you realize that you've built something over the last 40 years. You've built something and now you have adult kids. You've built something and now you see aging parents. You've built something and now your greatest concern is to make sure that when you land, everyone else is taken care of. If you find yourself in that phase right now, would you wave to me? Owens Mills, wave to me. There you go. I see you. Bridgeway in Columbia, wave to me. Let me give you a word of encouragement. Don't allow your guilt to drive your emotions into a ditch. You are only one person and you cannot care for everybody. Do what you can with what you have and trust that God can take care of the family members that you cannot completely care for right now. Do your best and let God handle the rest. Now, what have we learned so far today? We've learned that God is the one who renews your strength. He renews the strength of the weary and he increases the power of the weak. Secondly, we learn that there are challenges in all stages and in ages of life. And we said with adulting, don't be too hard on yourself. With ascending, push through and you will get to a higher, more comfortable altitude. And with descending, don't allow guilt to drive your emotions into a ditch. Do your best and let God handle the rest. You know, there is a book that I'll recommend to you called From Strength to Strength. It's a secular book by Arthur Brooks. And one of the things that he talks about is many people actually hit their peak younger than they think. Their peak performance, and he talks about Bach. He talks about athletes. Most athletes hit their peak performance in their 20s. And what happens is as you get older, after you retire, you're always looking back to what you did very well, but you're never gonna hit that peak in the same way. And all the fame or all the money or all the excitement that you had when you hit your peak as a musician in a symphony or as an academic or as an athlete, you hit that peak early. People in the tech industry, they hit that peak early. We're not talking about hitting your peak in your 50s. We're talking about hitting your peak in your 20s. It's when you put out the best stuff. And then what happens is after that, you're always looking back to what you did. And if you don't have a plan for the latter part of your life, what happens is people who get older and retired get more depressed and sad because they're always looking behind. But what he says from strength to strength is that if you move from this fluid intelligence where you are innovating, then if you prepare right, you can jump to a second curve called an intelligence of wisdom, if you will, a crystallized intelligence, where you move from the peak performance of innovation to now the peak performance of instruction. Move from what you used to do to perform to now being a coach, a consultant, a person of wisdom, a sage. And if you become a teacher, a professor, not just, you know, being paid by a school, but literally a sage where you can pour into the younger based on what you built, then you can go into your 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s not always feeling like I was a used to, I was a has been. But no, leveraging that to go from strength to strength. Another secular book I'll recommend to you is called Decade by Decade. You may have heard me talk about this in the past, where each decade has its own unique challenge. It's by Bob Beal, and he spells his name with three B's, Bob, B-O-B-B, he does. Okay, let me end this by kind of reading you that scripture again and giving you some practical applications. Our key scripture is Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Practical application number one. Turn to our ageless and eternal God for renewed strength when you are weary, weak, and burdened. Regardless of the age you are, you find yourself weary or weak or burdened, turn to the ageless God. He's eternal. Life at any age presents challenges, but Jesus is there to walk with you whether you are a child or a teenager or an adult, senior citizen. Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is offering to walk with you and to help carry you so you don't continue to walk in religion that can be so very tiring. Religion and good works and trying to be such a good moral person and trying to please everybody can be tiring. And one of the things that you gain in wisdom when you get older, you don't stop caring about what everybody thinks. You start caring about the people who matter to you, and the ones that don't matter should not rule your emotions. I mean, they may matter to God, but they don't necessarily matter to me. And what I mean by that is not that they are not important and not that they're not valuable, but who cares whether you hit like on my social media or not? I don't even know you. I will not allow you to control my emotions because you made a comment that I didn't like. I'm too old to deal with stupidity. And there is a difference. There is a difference between sensitivity and maturity. Sometimes what happens is people are so sensitive, you're tired of hurting them, and you're wondering, why are you so sensitive? Why are you so offended? The elders and I were talking about this week. That spirit of offense may not deal with your sensitivity. It may actually deal with your maturity. Because age doesn't equal maturity. You can have people that are older and still immature. And so I may be thinking, man, you're just so sensitive. Or now I realize, no, you just may not be mature. And you have to spiritually mature. You have to emotionally mature. You have a lot of older people who are still emotional adolescents. And so everything offends them. And so I'm not saying don't be kind and don't try to make sure that you don't offend people. I try to do that all the time. But now I cannot be ruled by your level of maturity. If your level of maturity doesn't match my level of maturity, my life doesn't have to stop because of your immaturity. I have to still live as a mature believer in the Lord, and you're just gonna have to catch up. That's a you issue. That's not a me issue. And so when you get older, you begin to realize that that's a you issue. That's not a me issue. What does that have to do with me? Nothing. That has to do with you, and I'm not going to lose sleep tonight because you have to mature in the Lord. I'm now old enough to walk away from your issues of immaturity. I'm old enough to walk away from every offense that you feel. I will not be governed by your likes. I will not be governed by whether you follow me. I will not be governed by whether you like what I wear or don't wear. I will not be governed by whether you like my personality or not. I will be governed by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I will smile. I will love you. I will be kind, but you will not rule my emotions. Can I get an amen to that? There's a difference between sensitivity and immaturity. Some people just need to grow up. Look at your neighbor. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't do it. Don't do it. I don't know where all that came from because it has nothing to do with this point. God renew the strength who are weary, weak, and burdened. Well, y'all figure out where that fit in the message. I might need to write that down again. Here's the second practical application. Turn to others to assist them through the ages and stages of life. Everybody ought to have a Paul, a Timothy, and a Barnabas. Pauls are people in your life who are above you, who can mentor you, someone ahead of you and above you. Timothys are people in your life who are below you or behind you. Paul was a mentor to Timothy. Timothy was a mentee to Paul. But Paul also had not only a Timothy, someone he was mentoring, but he also had a Barnabas. Barnabas is someone to the side of you, someone who walks alongside of you. And I think that if we're going to grow in our faith, we need Pauls in our life, people ahead of us. We need Timothys in our life, people who we're pouring into and helping them. And then we also need Barnabases in our life, people who can walk alongside of us and be a brother and sister. And maybe a question to ask yourself is, how can I leverage my age and my stage of life to help assist other people in their spiritual growth and maturity? A third and final application, take hold of your eternality above your chronology. Take hold of your eternality above your chronology. Remember that your chronological age is temporary, but your eternal age is infinite. Only what you do for Christ will last. And on this earth, we are, like the Apostle James said, no more than a vapor or a mist. Here today and gone tomorrow. I end today's sermon by reading you this New Testament passage of encouragement to your spirit man and your spirit woman that has no age. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweigh them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. Amen. You may be aging chronologically, but spiritually, if anybody asks you how you're doing, you can say by faith, I'm young and healthy. Amen. And amen.